An email yesterday, or my wife did, the officer did, from a young lady out of Tennessee. And that young lady, years ago, used to ride a church bus to Gospel Light Baptist Church over on Airport Road. And her and her husband both are saved. Children are in church and are saved. And their pastor encouraged them to reach out or to think about somebody that had an influence on your salvation. And she wrote a beautiful letter about what Gospel Light Baptist Church meant to her. And the men, she didn't name the men, but just kept calling the men that were faithful to visit every Saturday and come by every Sunday and pick her and her family up and bring them to church. And she told her salvation story, how one Sunday morning during Sunday school in the gym, she said that she heard something that just spoke to her heart. And she asked the Lord to save her. See, it's worth it. It really is. Sometimes we forget about things like that, but it's worth it. God's still working, so we praise the Lord for that. All right, John chapter 10 this evening. Let's read it together this evening. Verse number 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things there were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, again, Lord, for this wonderful day, beautiful day. Lord, just so wonderful to see things coming to life around about us, Lord, and God, just to see spring and everything that's blossoming. And God, we just thank you, Lord, for what we feel in our hearts, God, as it reminds us of a life. And God, I pray as we've come this way tonight, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us. God, as we just gather around your table, Lord, I pray, Lord, you just speak to our hearts. Lord, I do pray for our young folks tonight as they're in their classes. I pray, Lord, you'll touch there in a special way. And Lord, I'm sure tonight that there's some tired folk in here, and I'm sure there's some folks that's carrying some heavy burdens. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll just comfort them tonight, Lord. And we'll thank you. We'll praise you for all you do, Lord. For it's in your precious name we do pray and we do ask. Amen. You can be seated this evening. As I've said from the get-go, the book of John is such a challenging book because it's full of so many things, and we've enjoyed our study, or at least I have, all through these first 9 chapters. Here we're coming into the 10th chapter. We're almost halfway home, and as far as finishing up this book, but John chapter 10, and I got to watch myself, but John chapter 10, we could be here a long time if the Lord would let us. There is so much in this one chapter that's just overwhelming to think of. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful chapter, and so many things that I've preached over the years out of these verses. And it's just a great things and so many things to see. But as we've read here these first 18 verses tonight, I want to remind you sort of where we were. We've come through chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, and every time up to there we've seen that continual flow of criticism between that religious leadership and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that confrontation. It's building and it's building and it's building. And here we come out of John chapter 9 there, that great picture of that blind man and what the Lord done for that man. And then he closes out chapter 9 just to refresh your mind a little bit. Basically, he brings everything back to that place. Again, it's all dealing with, again, not the blind man. Again, great miracle, wonderful what God did there. But that's not what we were, the picture of what I believe the Lord was showing us there. He was showing us the need of light and the need that He is the light of the world. And again, it's not religion, because religion can't give you that. And we're going to see that tonight as we go from that picture of that blind man. And look how he closes out chapter 9, and he's leading it right into chapter 10. And the Lord's, verse 38, and he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? I mean, they're very sarcastic. They're trying to get him to push his buttons. And then verse 41, Jesus said unto them, those Pharisees, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. And then right after that, he comes into this great parable, this great picture that we find here in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, probably most people can relate to John chapter 10 because it's dealing with what? What we read tonight, the good shepherd and the sheep. And I'm glad tonight we'll see that. We've got a great shepherd, amen. And but I want us to see more than just the thoughts of a shepherd and sheep, but we'll spend much of our time there. Also in this chapter is another great thing, and I don't know if you caught it as we read through, and again, you've probably read through these verses many times. Over and over, the Christ says that great saying, I am. He's very precise. He's very distinct. He's not holding back. He's saying, this is how it's going to be, and this is how it is. And you know, tonight, we need to get back to that. I really believe that. We have watered, not we as a group, but I'm saying we as a church and all over the world and land, I believe, we have watered things down to make people feel comfortable. You know, well, you don't want to make anybody mad, preacher, you know, can't we just all get along? Friend, if you're preaching this book, you're not going to get along with everybody. This book will rub things raw. My wife's been taking some therapy for her knee she told me of some things that she's been hearing there, and this group of people there have started a new church, and they say, well, we still believe the same way, but we've changed our way trying to reach out to a younger generation. Where does that lead? Are you really giving them anything? So, again, he's very precise, and he's drawing that to that conclusion because he, again, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, and here in chapter 10, he's drawing those religious crowd out. He's drawing those religious leaders out to put them in that spotlight of, look, this is who you are and this is who I am. So again, we need to realize, and I hope I'll say it a few more times tonight, it isn't about this building. It isn't about who we are. Everything we ought to do. You know, I invite people to church. You know why I invite people to church? I want them to hear about Jesus. I don't invite them to church because we had an egg hunt, or I don't invite them to church, and I'm not beating up egg hunting or whatever. I'm just saying the main thing of everything that we need to do, we always need to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to pump their flesh up and send them out of here thinking everything's okay when everything isn't okay. So Christ is drawing those people to that place, and it's really coming to a head here in John chapter 10. So again, a great picture tonight, as we've already read here about the sheep and the shepherd, and that's sort of the key of what we're going to be looking at this evening. And again, he draws them to that place of, again, this throwing some general stuff out before we get in here. He's showing them the difference between a real shepherd and a false shepherd. And I have these verses as a pastor, and again, I'm not the shepherd. I'm just an under shepherd. I'm just a guy the Lord let me be part of this thing. He's the shepherd. But I don't want to be a hireling. And tonight, as a daddy, I don't want to be a hireling. As a husband, I don't want to be a hireling. As a pastor, I don't want to be a hireling. I want to be the pastor that the Lord shows me in scriptures that I need to be. I want to be the husband that the Lord shows me through scriptures that I'm supposed to be. I want to be the daddy that the Lord shows me what I'm supposed to be. But today we have become so much of a hireling, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, because the Bible gives us a great definition of who a hireling is. You know what a hireling is? A hireling cares about themselves. And today that is where we are so greatly in America. Marriages fall apart because I care more about me than I do my wife or my family. That's not how a marriage is supposed to be. The Bible says in a marriage that when a man marries a woman, they become one. There is no I. It's us. We're together. We are one. Well, I just don't love her anymore. Get over it. You're supposed to be a one. You're supposed to be in a unison. Same thing in the home with the children. There needs to be leadership. You know, we're living in a day now that people don't want to be a leader. Everybody wants to be a friend. Mama, I understand wanting to be a friend to your child, but your mama, your child needs a mama, or your child needs a daddy more than they need you to be a friend. A shepherd, and I'm getting so far away ahead of myself. My grandpa, again, I grew up on a dairy farm. I grew up around a lot of animals. My grandfather, when he was teaching me the things he taught me, never in his wildest dream knew I'd be pastoring. But I have learned so much how to be a pastor from what my grandfather taught me on how to be a shepherd, and he was a farmer, to those animals. How he watched over them and how he cared for them and how they were the center of his being there as a farmer. And as a pastor, I want to do that same part. I don't want to just come in and get a paycheck and go to the house. That's not what a pastor should be. So again, there's such a great picture up here of the comparison between a true shepherd and a hireling. So we're just going to go down through some of these verses tonight. Hopefully it'll be a help to us tonight. And the key to all of this is, you know, who's your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Some of you tonight, maybe you're your own shepherd. I got this. Again, God is comparing us, not just here the first time, but many times throughout scriptures, you'll find God comparing mankind to sheep. Here tonight, we find that comparison again, and I'll be honest with you, we've never had sheep. We've had cows, we've had chickens, we've had pigs, we've had dogs and cats and all kinds of other little critters, horses. We've never had sheep or goats. But I wish I could remember the name of that book. This man was actually a shepherd. He actually worked as a true shepherd over in the Middle East. And he wrote a book coming out of Psalms 23 on what a real shepherd in the eyes of a shepherd would be, and how they literally what they did for those sheep. But you know, sheep's not a very common thing around here. Most sheep, you know, we have sheep around, but most people in here has probably never dealt with sheep, and I've never really dealt with sheep. But what I've read and what I've heard about sheep, sheep rank up in the very top high of some of the dumbest animals on the earth. I wonder why God would compare us to a sheep. Preacher, I don't like that. Well, tell God about it. We'll let you work it out with Him. They say that a sheep is so dumb that if it gets over the hill from where the barn or its home place is, it is so dumb that it cannot even find its way back. That's how dumb a sheep. A cow, you can come to my house right now and you can look out through our pastures and you'll find the trail. Those cows walk it every day the same way. We used to have workhorses. We'd be in the tobacco patch with a workhorse. That's Believe it or not, that's how we used to prime the back wheel. I got to sit in the sled and felt like I was doing something. The horse just knew what to do. But every once in a while, that dumb horse would get a little anxious, and guess where it wanted to go? It went back to the barn. We could be in the furthest field that we had, but guess what? That horse was smart enough to know where the barn was. Dogs are the same way. Hunting dogs. How many times, Tony, you found a dog lost miles away and it just shows up out of nowhere? They got some intelligence about them, but not a sheep. A sheep can't find its own grass. A sheep can't find its own protection. A sheep can't find its own water source. And God compares us to that same thing. Why? Because, hello, we need a shepherd. Those sheep will never survive without a shepherd. Friend, tonight we need a shepherd. We'll never survive without a shepherd. So, again, that's the great comparison here tonight in this great, great picture here that God gives us here in John chapter 10. Again, the Lord shows that difference there between the shepherd. And again, it's all about the heart of the shepherd. And that's what we see here in these first few verses. So let's look at verses 1 through 5 this evening as we look at this parable. It says, verily, verily. And again, when the Lord uses those words, you better perk up. He gives that verily, verily as an incentive to, he's getting ready to say something big. So he says, verily, verily, I, that's the Lord, say unto you. Again, it's very directive. Who's he talking to? Those Pharisees. We're coming right out of chapter 9, right into chapter 10. They just asked that question, are we blind to? Well, the Lord says, let me tell you something. I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. There's order there. There's a right way. And again, if you go back into biblical times, they had the sheep gate. They had places they would bring those sheep into that place. And those shepherds, they had porters. And that's what he's talking about there in that door. They would actually, it wasn't a physical door per se. You know, we in our place, we got a barn. You put something there, you pull the door shut. Hopefully it stays in. These shepherds would take those sheep and put them into this place. And the shepherd himself would lay himself down across the doorway to make sure the sheep stayed on this side and nothing else coming this way. But God's showing out here, the Lord's showing these Pharisees that there's people that are trying to get in some other way. That's what religion does. Religion wants to try to crawl over the fence. Religion wants to try to get their own way. Look at our day. People don't like to know there's the narrow road that the Bible really shows. One of the biggest problems in our day in America is people don't want to hear the fact there's only one way to heaven. People want to believe, well, you know, you just do what you want to do and everything's going to work out great. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible shows a very narrow way. And God's showing forth that truth to these Pharisees that there is people trying to do things, and he's pointing to them. You're trying to be a religious leader. You're trying to manipulate these people. You're trying to be a shepherd to them in a way that's not right, and because of that, you're a thief and a robber. So again, he calls them out there in verse number 1, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. See, the one that enters in that way, he is the shepherd. And again, he's speaking of himself. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And I didn't put this in the notes, but it just come back to my ringing in my ears tonight as we read through these verses. We won't go back and read through it all again, but notice how many times he talks about the recognition between the shepherd and the sheep. My grandfather got hurt really bad by a tractor. We had a big old Alice Chamber tractor. Had a big old finishing heart on the back of it. And the solenoid on the starter messed up. So, being the poor people that I guess we thought we didn't fix the starter. So, he took a screwdriver out. Every time he'd get ready to crank the tractor, he'd take the screwdriver out, short the solenoid out, and crank the tractor. Done it hundreds of times. Starter's here. Back tire of that tractor's here, and it's about this tall. He reached in there to short that solenoid out. It cranked, jumped in gear, run slap all over him, tractors and the horn. I mean, he was crushed. He was in the, I didn't think he was going to live. He finally pulled out of that one. He actually got run over 3 times by a tractor. If that tells you anything about my grandfather. That was the first time. Second time, he was backed up to an irrigation pump, and the bank caved off on the creek bed, and the tractor flipped over backwards like this and pinned him under the tractor in the barbed wire of the fence. And then the third time, he was probably in his 70s at that time, he stopped at the neighbor's house and thought he put the brake on the tractor, and he stepped off, and it was on a sort of an incline, and the tractor started to roll away. So he's 70-some years old and thought he was 16, so he was going to run and catch the tractor and jump up on it. Well, it runs slap all over him again. But I'm just saying, you know, that's the story of that one. It has nothing to do with this, but but the first one did. How many times we see the recognition here that the shepherd is recognizing the sheep and the sheep recognize the shepherd how? By his voice. When the shepherd speaks, the sheep know his voice. The story of my grandfather is when he got crushed, my uncle and myself tried to take over taking care of all the cows. It didn't go real well at first. Why? They didn't know my voice. My grandfather could get out of his truck and start, we call it sooking the cows. I don't know why you call it that, but that's just what we called it. He'd holler for the cows, and here they'd come running. I'd get out of the truck, say the same things he said, and they'd just sit there and look at you like he's dumb. We don't know you. We're not coming to you. Tonight, we as sheep ought to know his voice. It's the reason this book should be so precious. I'm not puffing my children up, but my daughter has been drug all over with us over her lifetimes. And many times we've been in services of funerals, usually as funerals, and she would say, "That's not the Bible." Why? She didn't recognize the voice. Tonight, we ought to recognize his voice. The word of God ought to ring in our ears. When he speaks, we should hear him. So, again, a great, great picture of the sheep and the shepherd. And again, verily, verily, verse 1, they're trying to get in some of the way. But verse 2, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name. And again, I got time to stay here, but what a relationship. Again, my grandfather, I guarantee you, he and he's told it to me a gazillion times, we wasn't a huge farm. We probably have somewhere around 50 cows. He could tell me, he could tell anybody, but he'd tell me, he could tell you when he bought that cow. He could tell you how many calves that cow had. And he can tell you which calf goes to that cow right now. Why? Because he was a good shepherd. And tonight to realize what God just told us about his relationship with us. Look at it. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. He knows your name. If you're one of his sheep. And leadeth them, his voice calls his own, again, the ownership, sheep by name, and leadeth them out. I wonder tonight, in our, where we're at right now, my grandpa also taught me something else about animals, because I got hollered at a bunch about this way. We'd be trying to get cows up. We didn't have a lot of equipment. We didn't have a lot of gates, didn't have head gates, didn't have any of that stuff. We just did best could. But my grandpa, he'd throw up his hand and go to the house if I ever got the cows running. He says, "You might as well go to the home because you're not going to catch them." My grandpa, if we were going to get ready to work cows, days before we were even going to move pastures or we were going to sell off some calves, he would go out there with a bucket of sweet feed. He'd call the cows in. He'd give them that feed, and they'd all come running around him. Did that for several days. On the day that we were going to move cows, he'd go out there to that feed bucket. He'd open the gate, call the cows. They'd follow him right through that gate. He was leading them. You know, one of our biggest issues, I believe, of our day, and it sort of bothers me a little bit, and I see it, it's growing, especially in young people. You know, one of the things that Brother Matlock told my wife and I when we were in marriage counseling before we got married, he says one of the biggest problems with people that get married want everything that mom and daddy's got that's took them 30 years to get. Great wisdom. I still use that same thing today when I deal with people that's going to get married. But we're teaching a generation, or I don't say we, but the world is teaching a generation to have everything now and to want to be in a place of leadership at a very young age. That's not good. We've got some of the youngest, and I know there's laws that you got to be so old to be in leadership and different rankings of our government systems, but we've got some of the youngest people ever probably in our country's history that are stepping up to the plate of leadership. That's not always good. They don't have that seasoning. They don't have, well, they're smart. What's your definition of smart? See, here is, again, that shepherd and sheep. What's the shepherd doing? He's leading them. To be led, you've got to have some humility. And that's something that we could use more of to realize that, Lord, I don't know. I'm just a dumb sheep. But Lord, I'm going to follow you. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So as we're walking together, we ought to let the Lord lead us. And again, that's just another one of those things I see here. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, verse 4, he goeth before them. And again, great, so much here we could preach. He goes before them. Aren't you glad tonight that God goes before you? You don't have to go alone if you wait on the Lord. He goes before you. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his, and there it is again, voice. Verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow. You know, people today, it's amazing how people follow. You know why the fads happen the way they do? Somebody very loud, somebody very boisterous, very glamorous through TV ads and all that, show themselves, boom, there it is. And all of a sudden everybody wants to have this color hair, or they want to wear this kind of clothes, or they want to do this. Or go Bernie. I know we're live streaming. Look at the following. Free ice cream. I'll vote for you. They follow. But they're following stranger. And a stranger will they not follow. Tonight, if you're not careful, devil ain't dumb. Devil come in sheep's clothing. Well, look where that sheep went. I'll follow him. He's going that way. Everybody else is doing it. How many mom and daddy's ever heard that one? If you hadn't, hang on. It can't be wrong. Everybody else is doing it. One of the biggest struggles. I know we're live streaming. Hey, one of the biggest struggles I had at our first church. They was comparing the way I was trying to pastor the church with all the other churches round about us. I said, we're not going their way. That really don't go well when you tell them that. But who are we following? You following the world? Brother Knox, it'll be here about 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, whatever it is. One of the books he wrote, or one of the sermons I heard him preach, he said this, church usually runs about 10 years behind the world. I don't believe that anymore. I believe we're about 2.5. But when he preached that message, it was about 10 years. What the world is now the church will be like that in 10 years. That's scary. But look at where we're look at what so-called church today. There's all forms, fashions, and flavors. But are they all following the right shepherd? That's the key. A stranger will they not follow. Listen, if that ain't the Lord, don't follow him. I'm not going to say the name of the church, but there's a church not far from us. I'm thankful that they heard a stranger and decided they wouldn't follow him. Who is it, preacher? I know our flesh. Who was it? What church is it? You don't need to know. What does it matter? But they had a shepherd that was leading them astray, and they had enough people in the church that were true sheep that said, that ain't the true shepherd. That ain't the right way. And we're not following that. And friend, tonight, if I ever start heading down the wrong path, don't follow me. But if I'm following Christ, let's follow together. A stranger will they not follow. Next words. But will, what's the next word? Flee. Don't rub up against it. Don't pretend like it's not going to get on you. I'll tell you this. You know what I did today? I finished burying a cow today. I went up to my grandpa's house. My daddy's working on it. And I said, what in the world is that smell? I said, something's dead. He said, one of the cows died and they buried it and they didn't get it deep enough. And sure enough, about a third of that cow was sticking up out of the ground. And buddy, it was ripe. I didn't care to be around it. I got the tractor and started putting dirt on top of it. And guess what was in my face? Stink and flies. You can't get close to that stuff and it not get on you. So why, as sheep, following the real shepherd, when a stranger comes in and tries to draw us away, why do we say, duh, and pretend that we'll just follow him too? No, the Bible says, flee from it. Flee means get away. Far away. As fast as you can away. So don't even get close to it. Flee from him, for they know not the voice, again, voice of strangers. In this parable spake Jesus unto them. Again, that's the them of chapter 9. But look what happens. But they understood not. But can you imagine that? Again, it's back to that thought that we've seen again. Still today we're dealing with it. He dealt with it all through the book of John. They don't understand him. It's as plain as your nose on your face, as they say. But they can't see it. And it's amazing the people that are good people. And that's one of the biggest problems. And that's the reason, I'm not very popular with people. But it's all right. Well, we're in church. They don't like to tell you, well, really, you're not. You might be at a rock concert. But I don't think God's around. But it's... And these are good people with good intentions. But good people with good intentions still go to hell. Just as much as bad people with bad intentions. And it's hard to tell people even because they're so sincere. You know, it takes a pretty sincere person that believes what they believe to strap a bomb on themselves and go and blow themselves up and kill people with them. But they believe what they believe to the place that they would do that. And people in our area, and it's growing by multitudes and bounds, that we're good people. We're serving the Lord. It's scary. And it all has to do with the fact of shepherding and the sheep. And again, he's speaking to religious people, and he says there's people trying to get in other ways. So they didn't understand it. And they don't understand it today. not what things they were which he spake unto them. Verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again. Can I tell you a secret tonight? We're in a test. And until you pass the test, you'll keep taking the test. God will continually put these things in front of you until you got to get them, got to get them, got to get them, got to get them. He's here again, talks to him. He says, then said Jesus unto them again. Same word again. Verily, verily, I, the Lord, say unto you, put us there. I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Well, you know, I have a hard time with this King James Bible. I don't understand what that means. Really? They didn't understand what he just told them in the first 5 verses. So he says, let me make it real plain to you. Me talking to you, me Tarzan, you Jane, however, me talking to you, Lord says, I'm the door. Got it? That's how he's brought this thing to the... He's talking to the most educated, most religious people of that day. And they didn't get it. So he says, here, let me tell you how it's going to be. He said, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Again, he's drawing this chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9. Here we are again, chapter 10. He's bringing it right into their face of this religious crowd. He's saying, I am the door. If a man wants life, it's going to have to come through me. Any others, he calls them thieves and robbers. Who's he talking about? He's talking about them. What a slap. He is the door. And if you want to be saved, that's what he's saying. You got to come through that door. If you want green pastures, you got to come through that door. If you want life, you got to come through that door. He's the only way. Notice also, just pointed out, verse number 9, I am the door by me, and notice the wording, if predestined men enter in. If any man, this is the shepherd, this is the door. He says, if any man. Aren't you glad tonight it's a whosoever will? Aren't you glad you didn't have to be born a certain place or born a certain color or born a certain creed? God said, if any man comes to me and comes through me, they can be saved. That's what he's saying. Everyone else, thieves and robbers. Verse 9 again, I am the door. Why did he use a door? Again, the door is a very dominant term when it comes to the picture of sheep and shepherd, because they put them in through the door and the shepherd would lay across that door and guard his sheep. He says, I'm the door. And notice also, I am, little words mean so much. I am what? It's a 3-letter word. The, not a. I am the door. Why? Because there's only one door. There's not a many multiple ways you get in however you want to know. There is one door and one way, and anybody else is a thief and a robber. He says, I'm the door. The only door. What does a door represent? A door is division, right? We're on this side of that door. A door divides. There's an inside part of the door. There's an outside part of the door. Aren't you glad tonight that the door's been opened? Where did it get opened? Calvary. The door's been opened. There's an invitation to come in. Just like this book is so amazing. Remember Noah? God told Noah to build a door in the side of the boat. He let the door stay down. He invited them to come in, Noah. Why? He was already in. You had to go through the door. Here tonight, Jesus is showing them there's a door, one door. That door divides. If you're on this side of the door, there's salvation. If you're on this side of the door, there's green pasture. If you're on this side of the door, there's fresh water. But if you're on that side of the door, there's wolves, there's thieves, there's robbers. So which side of the door are you on? Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. See the difference? We're comparing two different types of shepherds. One shepherd wants to destroy and kill. The other shepherd wants to give. Let me show you something real quickly this evening. Look over in Jeremiah. Hold your place in John 10, of course. Look in Jeremiah chapter 50. Again, two different shepherds we see. Jeremiah chapter 50. John chapter 10, verse number 10, he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come. Who's he? He's the good shepherd. Who's he? He's the door. I'm come that they might have life. So there's one that come to destroy. There's one that come to give life. Look in Jeremiah chapter 50. Look at verse number 6. My people, this is Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6. My people hath been lost sheep. Who's he talking about? Talking about the nation of Israel. They're shepherds. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversary said, we offend not because they have sinned against the Lord. The habitation of the justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. See that shepherd there? They tried to go in a different way. And it caused them to be destroyed. It caused them to be cast out. Let's look at another shepherd real quickly. Look over in Psalms. We'll read the death chapter, Psalms 23. You never hear it unless you're at a funeral. It's not a death chapter, it's a living chapter. It's all about life, not death. Two shepherds. Jeremiah chapter 50 showed us a shepherd that led their sheep out astray, left them hanging out on the mountain by themselves, and they were destroyed. Here's another shepherd. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Sounds like we need to be obedient to the shepherd, doesn't it? He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's that shepherd. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a pretty different shepherd, isn't it? The shepherd of Jeremiah chapter 50 is a shepherd that separated us, a shepherd that led astray. But here's a shepherd that takes the sheep and tends to the sheep and gives the sheep everything they need. That's what John chapter 10 is all about. Two different shepherds. What a difference. Verse number 11. There's that little word again. I am. I am the good shepherd. What a shepherd he is. I am the good shepherd. What a statement. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Is that not what he did for you? Is that not what he's done for us? Our shepherd says, I'm the good shepherd. Why? Because I gave myself for you. Religion never does that. The world never does that. The world's always what they can get, what they want. What can I get out of it? What's in it for me? The Lord says, I did it for them. That's the good shepherd. Look at verse 12 and 13. Here's the opposite. That he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. See, we need to remember who we belong to. See, the hireling doesn't own the sheep. But what makes a difference in our shepherd and a hireling is our shepherd, the Lord, we belong to him. He takes ownership of us. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth after, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling. See the difference? The Lord said in verse number 11, I'm the good shepherd because I'll give my life for my sheep. But the hireling won't do that. The hireling is in it for themselves. The hireling's there. And when he sees trouble coming, when he sees conflict, when he sees opposition, a hireling will run. A hireling will leave the sheep laying. Why? The answer is in verse 13. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and notice, and careth not for the sheep. See, that's the difference. The Lord is my shepherd. Why? He careth for me. He leads me. He guides me. He provides for me. He fights for me. There's a big difference in him as my shepherd and a preacher. A preacher, they'll run and hide. Things get hot and heavy, they won't be there for you. Politics, same way. We're getting ready to head into the nasty of nasty for the next president run. You're going to hear so much garbage between now and then. And I guarantee you, when it's all said and done, they don't give a rip about you. All they care about is what they can do and what they can get. But not our shepherd. Our shepherd, when he sees something, he doesn't run. When he sees something happening, he just hangs in there. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd again. He's so reassuring. And know my sheep, and am known of mine. You're going to be faced with things in life. Sickness, death, want, hurt. No matter what it is that comes after you, you can be assured tonight that our shepherd will be there. Why? He cares for you. He knows you. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's the good shepherd. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. There goes some deity there. There goes that thought, as we've seen all through the book of John. It's about his deity. He's connecting himself with God. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And notice this good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. He'll lay his life down for you. He did. Jesus hung on that cross. He laid his life down for the sheep. No one else would do that. Nobody else could do that. Verse 16. And other sheep, I love this verse. and other sheep I have. Now, this is the Lord speaking. Who's he speaking to? Hello? The Jews, right? He's speaking to that Jewish crowd. He's speaking to those Jewish religious Pharisees. He's telling them about this great thing that's getting ready to happen. He's going to lay his life down for the sheep. And then he makes this statement. And other sheep I have. I wonder who they are. Other sheep I have. Aren't you glad? If you ain't figured it out yet, it's us. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. You're not a Jew. You're the church. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must. We're in. Why? Because our shepherd laid down his life for us. And he says, you're not a Jew, but I'm going to bring you with them anyway. I must bring. And they shall hear what? My voice. Well, looky there. Even us, dumb sheep, need to hear his voice. And then, hello. And there shall be, not right now, but there shall be one. How many is that? One. One what? One fold. Not now, but one day there will be. One fold, and what does it say also? One shepherd. Ain't it amazing? Therefore, doth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Look at the authority. Jesus Christ standing there that day, he's telling them things they ain't got a clue what he's talking about. I do, because I got the whole book. He says, I'm going to lay my life down. You're not going to take it from me. They want to kill him. Remember? How many times have they tried to kill him? He says, but I'm going to lay my life down. But guess what? I'm going to pick it back up again. That's the power of our shepherd. He's in control. He's telling them, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to that cross. And I'm going to die. The gospel, we heard it Sunday. I'm going to die. You're going to bury me. But guess what? I'm getting up on the third day. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That's our shepherd. He can do all these things. Why? Because he is victorious. Only he could tell death, get out of the way. Only he could tell the grave, you ain't touching me. That's the shepherd. Therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Verse 18, no man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Again, the authority of our shepherd. He's showing them again the deity. He is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is saying, I'm the one that's in control, not you. He's greater, and he is that good shepherd. And what a shepherd he is. Jesus opened the door, because he is the door, to give every man an opportunity to come in. He ain't going to drive you in, but he invites you to come in. He stands at the door and does what? Knocks. Why? He's on one side, you're on the other. You want to come in? Open the door. I didn't say it, but let me find it again. Verse 10 again. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. Aren't you glad for eternal life? But aren't you glad it's even more than that? Look what he says. And that they might have it more abundantly. Do you have an abundant life? Well, preacher, if I had more money. If you got the shepherd, you've got abundant life. Well, if I had a bigger house or a nicer car, you be honest with yourself. If you're truly saved tonight, can't you truly say that your life is abundant? Amen. You've got stuff that man can never understand. Abundant life. All because of who our shepherd. Jeremiah chapter 50. Their shepherds led them astray. And there's a bunch of that out there today. There's men on TV. There's men in pulpits all over this country saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. And all they care about is a name. All they're caring about is a position. All they're caring about. And I'll be honest with you. Brother Rick mentioned it the last couple of Sundays. We know of at least five churches in Rowan County. We're talking Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches. This is Rowan County. Five of them is without pastors. I'm not saying this toot my horn by no means. I am what I am by the grace of God. It's what Paul says, what I say too. We're graduating a lot of men out of colleges today that profess to be preachers and pastors, but they're hirelings. There are very few true shepherds. Very few that want to stick in there and care for sheep and lead them towards the great shepherd, the good shepherd. There's a difference. And it's all about their heart. The hireling's heart, they care for themselves. The Lord's heart, I lay my life down for my sheep. He cares about us. Big difference. Who's your shepherd tonight? That's what he's trying to get them to see. Who's your shepherd? Let's stand together this evening.